Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another Jesus Strong. This is Brian Peckham coming to you from Whitman, Massachusetts. And tonight we are going to wrap up our Message of the Cross series. And we're going to be starting a brand new series next week. And the name of the series, it's called Time to Get Fruity. And we're going to be dealing with the fruits of the Spirit. So we're going to be starting a brand new series next week on the fruits of the Spirit. So before we begin, I'm going to open us up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray right now that you'll just move tonight, Lord God. Lord, I pray for each listener, Lord God, whether it's live, a live listener or an archived listener, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you will give them the ears to hear and the eyes to see what it is that you are about to reveal to them, Father. Lord, give them wisdom, Lord God, as they're about to hear your word. And I'll give you all the praise and all the honor. In your name I pray. Amen. All right. And we're going to do the opening song for the message.
Church of God, persecuting the true disciples of Christ, enjoying you, Lamb, in grace and joining you, Lamb, salvation. I think I believe you so far. I saw the one who came to life that I began to start. I believe that all the world is your heart. Thank you.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians, the third chapter, and we're going to read verses 15 through 19. And it says, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. When a Christian thinks about who would be categorized as an enemy of the cross of Christ, he or she probably thinks about one of the religious cults, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Scientists, Seventh-day Adventists, Roman Catholics, Church of Christ, etc. Christians would never believe that other Christians could be enemies of the cross. However, I believe that this is who the Apostle Paul is describing here in tonight's passage. Notice what Paul says in verse 16. In verse 16, Paul sets down the rule on how believers are to walk on this earth. Paul says, let us walk by the same rule. In other words, there are not different rules for a believer to walk by. If that was the case, it would make it very difficult for a local church to be in a unity and harmony of one spirit. It would bring confusion, and God is not the author of confusion. Paul continues in verse 16 and gives the believer one simple rule to guide his walk with the Lord. Paul says, "Let us mind the same thing." To mind the same thing, Christians have to be of the same mind. Although the New Testament, the believer is exhorted to be of the same mind. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." And even in 2 Corinthians 13:11, it says, "Be ye of one mind." And in Ephesians 4:3, it says, "Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Paul tells the Philippians that their testimony in Philippians 1:27, that their testimony should be regardless if he or she is present or absent. Ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. This is what the believer's testimony always should be, striving together with other believers for the faith of the gospel, not striving against one another for the destruction of the faith of the gospel. The Apostle Peter told believers in 1 Peter 3:8, "Finally, be ye all of one mind." So we see the rule of mind, the same thing. It's very important because of the emphasis the Word of God places on it. Christians are capable of and have the power to mind the same thing because the Word of God tells us that as believers that we have the mind of Christ, which you can see in 1 Corinthians 2:16. And Paul tells us in Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Paul is talking about the spiritual mind and not carnal or fleshly mind. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, Paul is telling the brethren to follow him. "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. But we know that when Paul said this, that he meant, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Paul goes to say, "Mark them which walk." Other words, identify or point out. Paul continues, "So as ye have us for an example. What Paul is saying, use us as an example or standard to go by. Remember, at the time, the canon of scriptures had not been completed. To mark other professing believers' walk, why would the Philippian believers want to do this? Paul tells us in Philippians 3:18, for it says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." Paul says, "There are those that I have spoken to you about before often, not just occasionally." So these folks that Paul and the Philippian believers were very familiar with, possibly before these other folks appeared to be right with God, serving the Lord, etc. But in reality, we're playing a game. Just a bunch of carnal believers into the things of the flesh. This is indicated by Paul saying in verse 18, "And now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." Obviously, Paul is heartbroken because he gives the news to Philippians weeping. Paul is in prison when he writes this epistle. So probably he experienced firsthand how these folks who by all outward appearance seemed to be serving the Lord were not. They were still saved, but at the best just carnal or fleshly Christians. Possibly some of these folks were responsible for Paul's imprisonment. Paul spoke of certain ones who had become enemies of the cross. In 2 Timothy 4:10, it says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." And in 2 Timothy 4:14, "Alexander, the coppersmith, did me much evil." Tonight, we want to look at the qualifications of Christians who are enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul gives us their qualifications in Philippians 3:19. "Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Whose end is destruction? We know, according to the scripture, that the Christian in the current age of grace, a church age, in which the Apostle Paul also was in, cannot lose their salvation. So the destruction spoken about here does not have to do with salvation. But as Christians, there are other things which can be destroyed by a carnal, worldly walk. For example, our fellowship with the Lord and brethren as a result of sin. If we want to see a biblical example of this, all we have to do is look at that bunch at Corinth, which you can see in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Notice in verse 30, "many sleep." The Lord took saints home early because they made a mockery of the Lord's supper. Those believers did not examine themselves like the Word of God says to. It is of the utmost importance to confess your sins and get right with God before partaking of the Lord's Supper. Because if you are not right with God and partake of the communion table and do it consistently, then the Lord just might take you home early. Notice what Paul says to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 13. And it says, "Unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Destruction of the flesh equals physical death." The Lord may take this individual home if that person continue in his or her sin. Paul was rebuking the church at Corinth for not taking a stand against the man who was committing fornication with his father's wife. Verse 2 says that they were puffed up about it. Paul says if the individual does not stop then to separate from them and having nothing to do with them. Paul says in verse 5, "Their body is no longer under subjection to the spirit. They are totally walking in the flesh. Their body is now at the possession of Satan. However, their spirit is still saved." Paul goes on with his rebuke and tells them that not only will the individuals involved in this sin reap destruction, but the whole church as well, if they allowed this to go on in the church. So Christian churches who are involved in sins of the nature are headed for destruction. In fact, the Lord may take them home early. In other words, they are enemies of the cross. So number one, a qualification of the enemies of the cross is whose end is destruction. Number two, whose God is their belly, are into satisfying the flesh, which you can read, which you can see in Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. And it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Notice Paul says, mark them. In other words, point out or call out. Enemies of the cross cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Avoid them means having nothing to do with them, separate from them. Why? Because they are causing divisions and offenses. This is the same as sowing discord among the brethren, which according to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 says, the Lord hates and considers it an abomination. That is why Paul so strongly puts it, avoid them. Again, this ties into Philippians chapter 3, verse 16, where Paul says, let us walk by the same rule, which would be in Romans chapter 16, verse 17, the doctrine which ye have learned. These folks who are enemies of the cross are not walking by the same rule, own set of rules. And Paul continues in Philippians chapter 3, verse 16, and says, let us mind the same thing. Again, these folks, to avoid in Romans chapter 16, verse 17, cause divisions and offenses. Therefore, they do not mind the same thing, but their own thing, which is contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, or the word of God. Contrary being so different as to be at opposite extremes. Opposite, inclined to resist authority and control. Those folks do the opposite to what the word of God says. We live in an age which is very rebellious. People are able and do it consistently, then the Lord just might take you home early. Notice what Paul says to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 13. In verse 5, it says, unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Destruction of the flesh means physical death. The Lord may take this individual home if that person continues in his or her sin. And Paul was rebuking the church at Corinth for not taking a stand against the man who was committing fornication with his father's wife. In verse 2, it says they were puffed up about it. It says if the individual does not stop then to separate from them and having nothing to do with them. Paul says in verse 5, their body is no longer under subjection to the spirit. They are totally walking in the flesh, and their body is now the possession of Satan. However, their spirit is still saved. Paul goes on with his rebuke and tells them that not only will the individuals involved in this sin reap destruction, but the whole church as well, if they allow this to go on in the church. So Christian churches who are involved in sins of this nature are headed for destruction. In fact, the Lord may take them home early. In other words, they are enemies of the cross. So number one, a qualification of the enemies of the cross is whose end is destruction. And I believe I just God is their belly. These folks are into satisfying the flesh. In Romans chapter 16, verses 17 through 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches desire the hearts of the simple. Notice Paul says, mark them. In other words, point out or call out, enemies of the cross cause divisions. And they cause divisions, and he says, and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Avoid them, having nothing to do with them, separate from them. Why? Because they are causing divisions and offenses, and this is the same as sowing discord among the brethren, which, according to Proverbs 16, the Lord hates. He considers it an abomination. Amen. I'm going to go down to part 3 here. If their glory is in their shame, in Philippians 3:18, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. These folks get their glory from their shame. In other words, what brings shame or disgrace to Christians? Sin. And we saw it earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, that the church was puffed up. They thought it was great to have fornication among them. They did not mourn about this open sin in their church. In fact, Paul told them straight out about their attitude in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. Paul said, "Your glorifying is not good." Unfortunately, in many so-called Bible-believing churches, they are glorifying in their shame. They think it is great that they openly tolerate sin. For example, folks living together, married folks committing adultery, having sexual perverts serving as members of their church. Their favorite verses are, "A friend loveth at all times," or "Speak the truth in love." Their favorite chapter in the Bible is 1 Corinthians 13. The Bible says these folks are enemies of the cross because whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Notice again that word mind. Remember, Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 16, "Let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." We know that when Paul said, "Let us mind the same thing was not referring to earthly things, but heavenly or spiritual things. The rule found in the Word of God is the mind of Christ, not the mind of the world and higher education. Christian, are you glorifying in your shame? Are you involved in some sin and you are not ashamed of it? You have not made it your priority to get right with God. And the Bible says that you're an enemy of the cross. Christian, do you glory in the fact that you like to gossip? Do you glory in the fact that you question and challenge the pastor's authority? Do you glory in the fact that you do not tithe, do not read your Bible, or not in church when the doors are open? Do you mind earthly things like money, TV, the lottery, the job, the DVD player, the computer, pornography, and music? Then you are an enemy of the cross because you glory in your shame or sin. You are minding earthly things and not heavenly things or spiritual things. Is your affection set on the things above or on the things of this earth? I do not want to scare you, but I have to preach the whole counsel of God. We saw when we started out that Philippians 3:19 said, if you are an enemy of the cross of Christ, then your end is destruction. The Lord will deal with you so long, but if you do not cease and resist, then he may take you home early, whose end is destruction. Won't you get right with God and restore the fellowship and joy of your salvation today and claim the first John 1:9, where it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And folks, you don't have to be an enemy of the cross anymore. Amen. You don't have to be an enemy of the cross anymore. All you have to do is just say a prayer like this, and I pray that you mean this prayer from your heart. Amen. Don't let it be lip service. Mean it from your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner. I believe you died for my sins. Right now, I turn from my sins and open the door of my heart and life. I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen and amen. Well, we are out of time tonight, and I pray that this message touched your heart. And we're going to close. We're going to close the show with this song, and I'm pretty sure you know it. Hallelujah for the Cross. And we will see you next week with a brand new teaching series. Have a blessed week. And this is Brian Tuckham saying good night, and may God richly bless you this week.
I'm sorry.